This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. There are a handful of big AV systems integrators in North America genuinely active in digital signage, but I'm pretty comfy saying New Jersey-based Diversified is the most active, experienced, and directly knowledgeable about this industry. The company has built and then managed many of the larger networks out there, including most of the big US banks that the average person could rattle off. While some of the other big AV IT guys have some dedicated resources, Diversified has a whole and big group pretty much doing nothing but digital signage and digital out-of-home work. The company also put the time and money into hiring a series of subject matter experts in digital signage, one of them being Jay Leedy, who is now Director of Business Development for what many people in the industry know as Diversified's Digital Media Group, or DMG. Jay's based down in Atlanta, but works with people and companies across the country. In this talk, we get into what DMG is all about, how they plug into this sector, and how they tend to work with clients and partners. We also talk things like Adobe, a company more active in signage than many of us probably think, Google, and the adoption rates out there for things like smart signage displays. Jay, most people would know who Diversified is, but for the benefit of those who don't, can you kind of give me a rundown of what the company's all about? I know it kind of breaks down to the larger company and then the digital media group.
Sure. Yeah. And thanks for having me, Dave. Diversified is a leading global technology solutions provider delivering a comprehensive suite of solutions designed to connect today's leading enterprises to the global marketplace.
Hey, you're reading that.
No, that's right off the top of my head, man. I've got the pitch down. but yeah, we've really grown over the last several years, coming from a pedigree of broadcast and traditional AV, and Diversified's DMG group, or digital media group, we're known throughout the industry as DMG. Especially in the digital signage space, has grown over the last 20 years as a managed service provider for geographically distributed digital signage network operation. But as an organization, we've really evolved and very rapidly in the last several years from being known as an AV systems integrator to really a comprehensive technology solutions provider with IT sensibilities and disciplines kind of almost overtaking our AV pedigree. And that's really kind of, I think, indicative of the market in general, that that AV and IT point of distinction has really blurred to the point where AV is really an IT play at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a number of very large systems integrators across the US and Canada, primarily the US. And you guys are certainly among them. But I would say, at least from observation, that the other large ones who don't need a name here, they're active in digital signage, but I wouldn't say they have a specific expertise in it. It's kind of like stuff drops in their lap and so on. And once in a while, I see them show up at DSE and things like that. But you guys, certainly in the last two or three years, have hired a number of subject matter experts such as yourself that are really completely focused on digital signage. Is that pretty accurate?
I think it is. Yeah. And kind of to take it a step further, I don't know of any of our main competitors that have invested to the extent we have in being operational experts of digital signage networks at scale. That's really kind of where we're differentiated, is this, you know, idea of a centrally managed, remote, proactive monitor solution that can be deployed across multiple platforms and really allow for a lot of flexibility with respect to the solutions that we deploy.
I have found that more and more the larger companies out there say we need to stay focused, particularly on the IT side, on network security, uptime for our servers and everything else. If we can have a third-party company do all of the day-to-day operations like you just described, we would greatly prefer that to taking it in-house.
Yeah, we have clients that kind of run the spectrum with that mindset. So it depends really on, in some cases, the maturity of the client and how long they've been operating these types of assets or understand the life cycle and some of the complexity, not only in the IT part of managing media players, screens, connectivity, IT infrastructure, CMS platforms, but also the content management strategies around it as well. And so we have a lot of clients that kind of start with the idea that they want to build out those groups internally and arrive at a decision downstream that really kind of informs a decision to contract with a solution provider like us. And we have many customers that have a blend of, you know, they're going to do some of it themselves and want to source through a solution provider like DMG any gaps that they might have in their internal infrastructure and, you know, any of the resource capabilities or competencies that they may not have in-house.
Do most of the companies who you engage with understand from the start what all is involved, or is it, as you say, kind of a path of discovery to realize, oh, this is more than we thought?
Yeah, it's usually the latter. I think in many cases, there's a lot of assumption on behalf of our customers on the requirements and the nature of, especially from a content perspective, what they might be able to leverage or repurpose in, you know, existing assets that are designed for print or web or video applications that are designed to be consumed while you're sitting in front of a screen passively, that don't necessarily translate to the discipline of digital signage. So it is usually a path of discovery, and some there's a consultative nature to how we engage with our clients to in an iterative fashion, really kind of help them arm in arm as partners understand where they can go and how they can unlock more value in their investments.
Mm-hmm. When you work with companies, does it have to be a certain scale for it to make sense for you guys and also for the end user? Because you're a very large company, you're taking on a lot of potential responsibilities within a project, and it might just look like too much for, let's say, a single community college in Missouri?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one we grapple with a fair bit. What we've tried to do is draw a line of distinction between what's a good fit for DMG-specific clients versus the balance of the diversified clientele. So in the case of what you just described for higher education or even K-12, clients, those typically don't fall within what we would consider to be a good fit for DMG, because the nature of our business at its core is managed services, and many of those clients have either financial barriers that would inhibit them from being able to really cost justify a managed service to the extent that we offer, and in some cases they just may not have enough screens or they may not have enough endpoints planned to grow out the network to really engage with us. So in those cases, we would get our other business units involved. Typically, that's our Advanced Visual Environment Solutions team, which is really the largest part of the diversified businesses, to help to formulate those solutions and, you know, provide a managed service that's a bit more kind of reactive in terms of remediation versus our proactive solution on the DMG side. The DMG approach and the way that we kind of look at these large networks is really about, at the end of the day, kind of providing an insurance policy for networks that have a large number of sites, that really, at the end of the day, don't have facilities expertise or available resources to go do just basic remediation on site. And that, you know, feel because of that, it's easier to cost justify our approach, which is, connected to the device all the time, programmatically updating and managing operating systems, providing continuity in terms of both operational and content management considerations, but also having a very large network of subcontractors that we can deploy based on a unified standard and control the overall level of experience, both in engaging with us as well as, you know, what they can expect in the field. On the flip side, our Advanced Visual Environments team works through our global services group to remediate, usually with a truck roll. But what we try to do is strike a balance also in making recommendations and partnering with the other parts of our businesses to ensure that whatever is specified as they grow, as they determine that managed services might be cost justified, that they're able to flip the switch effectively and turn on managed services with a platform that is already qualified for the core operations of DMG.
One of the things that always interested me about the DMG point of view on the world was in doing managed services, you guys seem to make it absolutely critical that you're able to install your software application on the playback devices, which tended to be way better device management than the software CMS had. Is that still the case?
It is, but the world is changing. You know, there's been a broad adoption of platforms such as BrightSign, and our core monitoring agent doesn't necessarily translate to more closed architecture systems such as BrightSign or Chromeboxes or what have you. So we are constantly looking at the evolution of the market and working with partners like BrightSign to, you know, figure out how best to have the degree of control and management and visibility into the network that we have, you know, traditionally enjoyed through Windows deployments or Linux deployments, where there's a bit more flexibility. But yeah, our monitoring agent gets very, very deep into the BIOS level considerations, and we're able to pull a lot more data points back than a typical CMS would on, you know, especially a Windows deployment.
So how would you deal with managed services if you don't have that? Do you just charge truck rolls on an occurrence basis instead?
We try not to. You know, it really our goal at the end of the day is to limit as much as possible the need to put a resource in the field.
Sure.
So, you know, we have been working hand in hand with a number of CMS and platform manufacturers to ensure that we're able to integrate and ingest as much as possible into our ticketing systems and our other monitoring platforms to limit that.
What do you do about smart displays then?
It's similar fashion. You know, we're very deep in our relationship with both Samsung and LG as well as NEC. So especially with respect to Samsung's remote monitoring capabilities and basically hosting a server that allows us to get visibility direct into the display and even manage the display independently of any player that's riding on it or at any CMS. We have that capability and are continuously kind of partnering with them as they unlock more capabilities on their side.
No, I didn't know that existed. Has a lot of the industry gone that way too, as you mentioned, BrightSign boxes and smart displays, whether it's Samsung, LG, or whoever?
Do you mean in terms of migration to more of a system on a chip versus?
Yes, shifted to special purpose devices and system on chip away from Windows and Linux PCs.
Yeah, we're seeing a trend that's moving towards purpose-built systems versus Windows, for sure. There's a lot less complexity, a lot less need for management on Windows devices, but there's also a sacrifice in some cases and a trade-off for power and the ability to output, especially for large format displays and video walls where you just need to have a potential to reduce the number of hardware endpoints with, you know, a lot more output in terms of, you know, video capacity. But for sure, we're seeing an interest in standardizing and moving towards purpose-built platforms like a BrightSign. Chromebox and Chrome implementations, we haven't seen growing as much as BrightSign. And I think to, to some extent, BrightSign's seen a lot of adoption because, you know, they offer a software that's free as a component of their platform, so long as you're subscribing to the BrightSign network. It's not a software, in our view, that is really well suited to automation at scale. But for a lot of point of purchase display manufacturers, creative agencies that have small interactive creative practices, it does the job. And we find that, you know, creating interactive experiences in the BrightSign platform also is a very easy way for us to do proof of concepts and, you know, deliver experiences that meet the customer need. But beyond that, you know, for system on a chip, we're seeing a growing interest in that, both in, you know, because customers want to reduce investment in hardware, reduce potential number of fail points in a network, but also they, you know, kind of are attracted to the idea of an all-in-one solution. And you know, the Magic Info and WebOS have really evolved over the last several years in terms of, you know, their ability to perform almost as well as a dedicated box.
Yeah, I've certainly heard of a number of companies who've shifted a lot of their business to smart displays, and they're not disappointed by it.
Yeah, I think, again, it really has to do with the application and the use case. And in almost all cases, especially in certain applications, you know, where you've got corporate communications, for example, that is typically not using a lot of integrations for sensors or, you know, triggers for contextual content, what have you. There's not a lot of high res video that's being used, or, you know, heavy use of HTML animation playback. Those system on a chip applications can work really, really well and can be very cost effective for a client. But the, you know, what I was going to say is, where I think clients enjoy working with us is that we can be very flexible in many cases by, you know, looking at the entirety of a network and evaluating where best to make a decision on equipment and strike a balance on, you know, cost considerations and application and use case, so that you know, there, you may merit having a Windows-based solution in specific applications and then SoC for the balance. And that's, I think, you know, where our expertise is a bit differentiated.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You mentioned automation just a while ago. How critical is that when you start to get into large and very large networks with a lot of potentially diverse content?
It's paramount, I think. You know, being able to take advantage of the back end and sophistication of a CMS platform, using metadata tagging for automated distribution of content assets, is a specialty of ours. You know, it's certainly how the web has kind of evolved in terms of delivering advertising programmatically, and, you know, using a number of different inputs based on search criteria or geographic location to deliver ads that are as relevant as they can be. In some cases, Google, I wish they could figure out that I've already bought something so they can stop advertising for the thing that I've been, you know, searching for the last month and move on to the thing I'm interested in now. But, you know, those types of methodologies, especially for a large network with a lot of geographically distributed endpoints across multiple markets, it becomes very, very important just to reduce the amount of labor involved in deploying those assets, as well as having reliable placement, especially on an out-of-home network. Programmatic digital out-of-home has, I think, evolved to the point where the concept is now starting to be very real between BroadSign and the back ends that Adobe AEM Screens brings to the table, that those are now, I think, closer to being a reality than they ever have been before.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time, I think, paying attention to Adobe and being to their conferences and things like that. I really don't see Adobe's AEM Screens out there very much. Once in a while, I'll get a piece of media material from them, but how active is that?
I think they're very, very active in driving into the market. Their strategy has been really about unlocking more value for the clients that have existing investments in AEM thus far. But Adobe has plenty of resources at their disposal, and I think when the overarching organization decides to be very, very serious about our market, they represent a sea change potentially. I know that Chris Riegel with Stratacrash has stated that in previous podcasts with you, and I firmly believe the same thing. It's really the power of their back end that makes Adobe's AEM Screens play so compelling. But there's an additional component, which is that the workflows in AEM sites, which is kind of the foundational element and what most Adobe customers are familiar with, are very, very similar in Screens. So now you have a potential to take resources that really understand sites and managing content workflows for flighting content to web and mobile assets, and with a very minimal amount of a training, can then have them also working to flight content and digital signage applications.
It's interesting because when Google came along 4 or 5 years ago and took a big booth at DSC, there were people who looked at all that and were very dismissive, saying, yeah, they'll be in, they'll be out. There were people like me who said, no, I think that we need to pay attention to this. And to some degree, they were right.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you've got Adobe, where I would look at them going, this is too small a market for them. But at the same time, I don't want to dismiss what they're doing either. And I just have not bumped into them very much. I haven't, they don't seem to have a lot of mind share within the ecosystem, at least yet.
Yeah, I think they've been pretty quiet with respect to engaging with the broader digital signage community. But a very sharp group of folks that are running the product team there. Jim Stoklosa, who has been in our industry for a long time, is part of that team, and certainly understands the intrinsic nature and kind of points of differentiation between core Adobe business and the balance of system integration and hardware and all the kind of operationalized deployment considerations. I think as compared to Google, where they did kind of come in very heavily, made a big splash, caused a lot of kind of speculation and activity within the industry. They kind of pulled the ripcord and almost disappeared to some extent. Chrome boxes are, I think, very secure and have a lot of potential. But we have not seen Google kind of driving into the market to the extent that we expected based on what we saw 3 years ago. And, you know, Adobe's mm-hmm. almost the opposite. They've been very slow burn. And, you know, again, their back end and kind of range of tools that they have in their total portfolio is where they're very, very differentiated. And, you know, almost every single content manager, you know, video production, creative agency group is using a suite of Adobe products. So all of those tools that are built into those design and creative products can even further help when it comes to the automation of distribution of assets.
Yeah, and I guess in a lot of ways, and kind of move off Adobe, but it, you know, if you can stay within one product suite all the way through to distribution, then do you need to look elsewhere? And are they going to start off with the level of sophistication that a big scale network requires?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think certainly that seems to be what they're trying to solve for, and you know, it seems to be where their kind of value prop is. But what we do know is, I think you probably know this well as anybody, is that generally speaking, there's not a magic bullet in terms of software for any application, right? And so that's where we try to speak to our clients and you know, state that up front and say, we want to understand where you're going near term and long term so that we can provide the best recommendation to meet those needs, but you know, also try to manage those expectations to say, you may run into trade-offs, and you know, at that point, or you may have to decide either to stay on a single CMS that's not going to be able to deliver, you know, specific applications, or in working with us, because we're more or less technology agnostic, you have an opportunity to have a single point of contact for issue remediation and, you know, ongoing proactive monitoring and management on a couple of different systems that are purpose-built to the solutions that you're looking for.
In terms of that agnosticism, is that hard to maintain? And is it hard to manage? Because yes, you can say we don't have our own piece of software that we absolutely insist on you using or our screens or anything else, but you would have the whole CMS world and all the display guys, everybody coming to you, and I suspect you have to have your favorites, your go-tos.
Well, we do, to the extent that we can't maintain expertise in just a plethora of
300
systems.
Software platforms.
Right. Yeah. And not every single one is suited to these large networks that we manage anyway. So, you know, between striking a balance on ensuring that, you know, our expertise is at a good level and that, you know, we have a degree of competence that brings value to the table, we do have to limit the number that we operate on an ongoing basis. But that's not to say that, you know, if an opportunity is you know, uncovered that is a sizable network where we don't have expertise today, we're willing to build that expertise based on, you know, what the opportunity represents. We also are constantly looking at the horizon of the industry. And so, you know, our favorites last year may not be our favorites next year. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with individual partner technology roadmaps and the degree of investment they're willing to make to marry up with where the industry trends are.
I know you have a pretty big customer base. Who, in the context of digital signage, are you allowed to speak about and, you know, reference that, yeah, we work with this end user?
So I'd say we're I think, fairly well known for the banking sector. And you know, we have four of the top five and are closing on the fifth. So without going into names and kind of risking any kind of exposure.
Yeah, I know it's tough.
That's probably all I can say about that. I mean, on the retail side, we do a lot of work with brands. You know, Home Depot is one that I work with on an ongoing basis. We have a pretty deep degree of involvement across a number of ad networks. So, you know, I don't think any more marketing material has been produced for Diversified in the last several years that hasn't included the Marriott Marquis Vornado Realty Trust board. And yes, you know, that speaks to a lot of our capabilities, both from a design build standpoint as well as an ongoing management standpoint. It also speaks to, you know, our security and our commitment to mission critical environments. You know, obviously that board commands a huge amount of ad spend on a weekly basis. And, you know, it really is kind of a microcosm in many ways of where our operational focus and expertise is.
Mm-hmm. Is there technology that is emerging now that you're finding is requiring more and more sort of understanding and use of? I guess I'm thinking more than anything else of LED.
Yeah, well, we've seen a very strong spike or hockey stick in the adoption or interest in adoption of fine pitch LED, especially for indoor, because the costs for those solutions have come down so considerably. I mean, the market's basically saturated. I probably get an email every day from a new potential partner in Shenzhen, but we're seeing that also.
You only get one?
Yeah. I mean, I guess my spam filters are pretty good.
I could send you some.
I get a lot more LinkedIn requests, but in any case, we're seeing a huge amount of growth in that sector. And, you know, speaking with some of our partners that sell panels and LED, they've suggested that you know, they really saw an inflection point early this year where they used to sell a lot more LCD panels, and really that was kind of the foundation of their business. It's flipped now. LED is really kind of overtaken a lot of the, especially large format application business. So in fact, I'm working on a project that stipulates a video wall application now. My guess is by the time that the business is awarded, they may rethink whether they want to do LED instead of video wall.
Yeah. Is it a challenge to sort out who to use there because there are so many options and you're going to have end users who are probably going to push you on price, even though that's not the way to go at this?
Yeah. I mean, our view is we are held to a service standard at the end of the day, especially because of the nature of our business being founded on managed services and kind of long contract engagements with clients. So we really try to select partners that are also committed to service levels. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the front end QC and management at the production level, but it also has to do with, you know, having in-country support and, you know, knowing that when we pick up the phone 2 years from now that we're going to have the same level of commitment that we had at the initial procurement stage. Mm-hmm. So to that end, it does limit the market to some degree for us. We do run into clients often that, you know, are it's a race to the bottom. They really only care about cost at the end of the day, but we really try to talk about total cost of ownership and, you know, by making the right decision, you know, you'll have a solution that can live in your environment for, you know, potentially 10 years for LED. And it's really those last 3 years of that equation in total cost of ownership that will kind of be a point of differentiation in the overall cost considerations.
Right. So last question, I'm a large organization. I am now starting to look at digital signage. I've listened to this podcast and I'm wondering, okay, these guys sound interesting. How do I engage with Diversified? Like, it's, you know, you've got several hundred employees all across the U.S. and you're starting to expand globally, but who do they even start with?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, generally speaking, we have an office in every major market in North America. As you mentioned, we're growing globally. I think every major market now through our Rutledge AV acquisition is represented in Australia. And I'd say, you know, we like to transact with customers locally and they like to transact with us locally. So where possible, a local relationship is how best to engage with us initially. As you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we've kind of built out an infrastructure on the DMG side of dedicated SMEs. So our SMEs are really consultative solutions experts that help to deliver DMG specific capabilities through our local relationships. So that seems to be a really good model, and we're seeing a lot of success doing that. But you know, if you've got a large geographically distributed network, and you know, based on this podcast, know that DMG is probably the best fit versus going through a local resource, reaching out to me directly or our team is a really good way to do it as well. We'll make sure to navigate and get you plugged in with the right vertical and subject matter expertise to make the solution work for your teams.
And what's the website?
Oh, diversifiedus.com.
Okay. I thought it was diversified.us, but it's diversifiedus.com?
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect. Jay, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.